You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027.
Having just finished reading Daniel Yergin's The New Map, new research this week from the University of Oxford, which predicts that total electricity generation across the African continent will double by 2030, really caught my eye, because the key finding is that fossil fuels will continue to dominate the energy mix, posing potential risk to global climate change commitments. I'm joined now by Galina Alova-Beitner, study lead author and researcher at the Oxford Smith School of Enterprise and the Environment over in London. Galina, welcome. Here in South Africa, we're experiencing rolling blackouts, or load shedding, as Eskom euphemistically calls it. So we'll gladly take some of that energy growth. Just take me through the background to this study.
Sure, Michael, of course. So what we tried to do in our study is really understanding the uncertainties around the planned power plants going online in the next decade. And we used quite a powerful machine learning model to predict which power plants will be successfully commissioned. Those power plants that are currently in the pipeline. And what we find is that the capacity mix of Africa will still be dominated, as you say, by fossil fuels. Non-hydro renewables, wind, solar, and other non-hydro renewables will still constitute a small share of the total capacity and less than 10% of the total electricity generated. Mm-hmm. And what we really try to understand in our study is the factors that drive the different success rates of projects. We look both at the design characteristics of power plants, so for example, their size, ownership structure, but also the characteristics of countries where they're located, different socioeconomic and governance indicators.
So you've built this machine learning model. It demonstrates very high accuracy in predicting power generation project failure and success using this data set that you've got your hands on. What did you find were the most relevant factors for successful commissioning of past projects?
So the most relevant factors are actually project level, which is quite a surprising finding, because you would expect if a project is planned in a country with a strong enabling environment, you know, low corruption and low inequality, strong governance outcomes, then they would have high success rates, those projects. And while we find that this is true, what we also see is that the project design factors are actually all important here. So it's the size. We find that actually smaller plants and have higher chances of commissioning. And also we look at fuels, and that's where the most interest lies. We see that gas and oil power plants have higher commissioning chances historically in Africa, while renewables, hydro and actually non-hydro renewables, have much lower success chances. For solar, though, there's quite a bit of a learning curve effect, what we call them. We can see in the sense that solar is becoming more successful in the past years and almost outperforming gas. And that's really positive indication. But unfortunately, wind, despite the tremendous fall in technology prices that this that wind projects have seen worldwide, it still hasn't scaled up across Africa just yet.
Yeah, your research does also highlight, though, there are regional differences in the pace of the transition to renewables. Southern Africa leading the way, and I think here in South Africa, we're a big part of that. You forecast that we're going to add almost 40% of Africa's total predicted new solar capacity by 2030, but still not enough. I mean, less than 10% of the energy mix being in renewables by 2030 is not moving fast enough if we're to take advantage of this opportunity as a continent to decarbonize. What would a decisive move towards renewable energy future in Africa require?
Yeah, so we identify a number of levers that are important to explore if we want to make sure the transition does take place. So one would be to channel development finance away from fossil fuel projects towards renewables, because we find that the participation of development finance institutions in projects actually has a positive impact on project realization chances, and that both for fossil fuel projects and renewables. So it would be really important to channel this finance towards unlocking learning curve effects for technologies where Africa might not have the experience, expertise yet, so wind and other non-hydro renewables besides solar. So, and two would be to really revisit the pipeline of projects. And that's actually an urgent point because further the project is at the planning and already construction stage, obviously it's harder to tweak its characteristics or even decommission it. So what we find is that in order for a much larger share of renewables to be in the energy mix by 2030, we need actually to cancel a large share of fossil fuel projects being planned and replace them by renewables. And three, what we find is that the chances of renewable energy projects being commissioned need to be improved through the design of those projects, so fitting ownership structure, the size of project, but also enabling environment.
Galina, just as a last point, how can listeners, if they're interested in this research, get access to it?
Yes, actually, we do have an open access link that Nature Energy does support sharing with the wider public. So I can provide that. And obviously, also who have subscription can also access the full study on Nature Energy website. But for sure, there's open access that also gives you access to the full
super.
In a different format.
Fantastic. Yeah. Thank you very much. Galina Alova-Binder, study lead author and researcher at the Oxford Smith School of Enterprise and the Environment, talking about some fascinating new research using machine learning tools to demonstrate that unless we see some radical shifts, Africa's electricity is unlikely to go green this decade.